the story of God, in exploring how to read this story that is given to us in the Bible, and to understand the mystery of Christ so that we might embody it in our own lives. We've been contrasting it with a different way of reading the Bible, the blueprint hermeneutic. And in Churches of Christ, one of the most important dimensions of the weekly assembly is the Lord's Supper. In fact, we cut our teeth, you might say, on a restoration of the weekly communion of the church, a weekly table. And that became a centerpiece, you might say, of the blueprint, that if you're going to be a faithful church, then you have to do this every Sunday and only on Sunday. And that reflects the blueprint hermeneutic. Because you see, what we did is we, in some sense, took Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 and used it as the pattern. We knew there was a command. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, back in Luke chapter 22. So we have a command. Do it. So if the Bible is complete and God and the pattern is full, somewhere God tells us when to do that, right? Just like he did for the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles and so on. So we know God does this with patterns. So since this is the pattern and we're looking for the blueprint, do this as part of the blueprint. So now we're looking for when? Acts 20 verse 7. The only text that tells us really when, according to the pattern. Upon the first day of the week, we gathered to break bread. So what we have is an example of Paul and the disciples gathering to break bread for the Lord's Supper on Sunday. Now here's where it gets tricky. What part of that story is normative and what part of that story is optional? Because there are a lot of examples of different things. They met upstairs, they met at night, they ate after midnight. Paul talked for a long time. Is that supposed to be part of every story? We make decisions about what's optional and what's normative. And we decide, well, upstairs and at night, that's optional, though not all churches have decided that. Some churches divided over that. And we decided, well, the first day of the week, that's normative. This is optional, this is normative. And we assumed it was normative because we believed that this example is manifesting or filling out the command. In other words, God gave the command in one part of the Bible, and now he gives us the time to do it in another part of the Bible. These two complement each other, so one fulfills the other. And we take the example then as an implied command. Even though we inferred it, it doesn't really, it's not really stated as a command, it's stated as an action. We infer it's a command. And then we infer that this is the only time you can do it. And the reason we infer that is, at least as we typically read the New Testament, there was no other time that they took it. And so the law of exclusion, or the law of silence, says, this is when you do it, and there's no other example, so this is the only time you can do it. And that's why typically in Churches of Christ, we have the Lord's Supper every first day of the week and only on the first day of the week. And throughout our history, we have used that as kind of the model of the pattern, model of how to discern the pattern. And the focus has always been on when rather than why. Seems to me that something is askew there. To take an example or to take an incident in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 and by a process of generic and specific, inclusive, exclusive, expediencies, coordinates, by a process of discernment that is filled with all these kinds of rules, implications, and inferences, and law of exclusion, and we come up with a conclusion that is never actually stated in the Bible. Only on Sunday and every Sunday. Can't find that in the Bible. Where you find it is at the conclusion of a whole process of inferences based upon a particular way of reading the New Testament. I want to suggest something different. A theological hermeneutic. Even if we begin with Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it's not so much here's the day to do it and only the day to do it. It's why is first day of the week important for that moment? What is going on in that story that tells us the first day of the week has theological significance, that it has importance in some way? And it might very well be because it reflects something that happened in Luke chapter 24. That when two disciples ate with Jesus in Emmaus, Jesus was made known in the breaking of the bread. That was on the first day of the week. They broke bread together, and it was resurrection day. Same thing's going on in Acts 20. It's the only story Luke tells us about Christians gathering to break bread in any specificity. He does tell us in Acts 2:46 that they broke bread house to house, and daily, by the way, but we won't go there. Let's come back to Acts 20 and verse 7. What happens in Acts 20 and verse 7 and verse 11 is that there's a resurrection. Remember, Eutychus fell out the window and Paul went down and raised him from the dead. They broke bread on the first day of the week and somebody was raised from the dead. Can you imagine sitting across the table from Eutychus? What kind of moment would that be? That's the table. That's the theology of the table. It's about life. And if we look at how Luke in the gospel narrated the event of the Last Supper, we see the theology of the Lord's Supper embedded there. That Luke is not interested in saying, okay, here's how you do it. This is the pattern. This is how you do it. I mean, if that's the case, then the pattern includes a meal, right? Because that's what it was. It was a meal. It's on Thursday. How many cups did they have? We don't know. They had unleavened bread. They had one loaf, two loaves. We debate all sorts of things about what happened at that table. And if we did that, we would make a pattern out of all of those. And that's what some people have done. But the point is not a pattern, not a blueprint for how to do this, but about a meal that embodies the gospel. That Luke says, this is my body, which is given for you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It's about the gospel, how Jesus gave himself for us. That the body and blood of the Lord are a gift of grace to us. It is a testimony to grace. It is a testimony of assurance that this is how much I have loved you. I am going to give you life. I'm going to give you nourishment, bread, and blood. More than that, I'm going to continue the story. It's a Passover. I'm going to give new meaning to this story. Israel's story is still your story. And the meaning of the Passover is carried forward, but enhanced. It's fulfilled. It's made full. And we live within the story of Israel as we eat at this table. But there's also the story of new creation. Remember, Jesus said, I'm not going to eat this again with you or drink this cup again until the kingdom of God has come. And what do we find him doing in Luke chapter 24? We find him eating with two disciples at a table, breaking bread. And Jesus, the living Christ, is revealed in the breaking of the bread. In other words, new creation has been poured into this moment. The movement from Passover to Lord's Supper is not a movement from the celebration of liberation to the mortification of death or the lament of death. No, the liberation, the celebration of liberation in Passover is moved into the fuller celebration of new life, new creation life, resurrected life. Jesus gives body and blood for the sake of life. And when we sit at the table, we eat and drink with the living Christ. The table, that Last Supper, is not so much about a pattern to be replicated as it is a meal to be enjoyed and to celebrate and to taste new creation itself. So if we read it theologically like that, instead of reading it as a blueprint, we read it as a theology of life, a theology of table, where we practice the table, not because we're following some pattern, but we practice the table to participate in the story of Israel and the story of God and participate in the life of Christ and to be at table with the living Christ, to be nourished by Christ. If we read it that way, when should we take it? Well, I think Acts 20 does tell us there's something significant about first day of the week. First day of the week is a moment when that story comes together of table and resurrection and the breaking of bread with the living Christ. But is that a pattern about only on the first day of the week? I don't think so. I'm one of those who, every first day of the week, I'm there. I want that. I want to eat with the living Christ, with my brothers and sisters, every first day of the week. But I also hear Paul, when Paul says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. As often as... When it comes to eating with the living Christ, I don't think there's too much of a good thing. It's not a blueprint we follow. It's Jesus that we follow.